Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. The Lord said to him, Who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. But Moses said, O Lord, please send someone else to do it. Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, What about your brother Aaron the Levite? I know he can speak well. He's already on his way to meet you, and his heart will be glad when he sees you. I shall speak to him and put words in his mouth, and I will help both of you speak and teach you what to do. And we read in the New Testament, in Luke's Gospel, Luke 14, 16 down to 24. Luke 14 from verse 16. Jesus replied, A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servants out to tell those who had been invited, Come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I have just bought a field and must go to see it. Please excuse me. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another said, I have just got married and so I cannot come. The servant came back and reported this to his master, and the owner of the house became angry and ordered the servants, go out quickly into the streets and into the alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you ordered has been done, but there is still room. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and into the countryside and into the lanes and bring and make them come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. Let's pray together. Our God and our Heavenly Father, we ask that you would open our minds, help us to concentrate, help us to listen to you. And Father, we'd ask that you would do as you always say, that you would allow your word to accomplish the reason you sent it out. We ask that you would change us, help us, encourage us. Father, even where we need a telling off, we ask that you would do that. Father, we ask for your blessing as we look into your word. Father, help us to honor you even in this. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I think I'd mentioned, I was a bit surprised that you folks are not back at school yet. I've been back at school a week. You've not back yet. Well, never mind, school's still there and it's waiting for you. It'll be great. One of the things that used to amuse me at school were excuses. People would either send a note saying why they weren't going to do gym or why they hadn't been at school. The famous one, and that wasn't a note I got, but one that I've heard about, John wasn't at school for 2 days. And on Wednesday and Thursday, he was missing. And on Friday, he came to school with a note. And it said, please excuse John for being absent from school. You see, he'd been dodging school. Please excuse John from being absent from school, signed John's father. Well, the teacher knew that John had been at it because he hadn't got his excuse right. But you get some daft ones. I used to be in a school where we got lots of interesting notes. One of them was a really strange one. Please excuse Millie for being off school as her granny had no shoes. Eventually, we discovered that the reason that Millie had been off is granny lived on her own and had to get taken into Glasgow to get shoes, and they didn't know when they'd be back, so they kept the kids off and took them into Glasgow with Granny to get Granny new shoes. But the worst one of all was, please excuse Jean for being off school as she was sick through a hole in her wellies. Apparently what had happened, she had a hole in her wellies and she got a chill. But that's not what the note said. Excuses are useful things at times. But I've got the title of what I'm going to say today is No Excuses. No Excuses. Moses is a fantastic example of how excuses are just exactly what they say they are, the reasons for not doing something that you should be doing. They're not real reasons. Moses says to God, when God says, I want you to go back and speak to Pharaoh, he turned and tell him to let the people go who were held as slaves in Egypt. And he says, God, I have never been good at speaking. I've never been eloquent. I'm very slow of speech and of tongue. And later on he says, the usual, don't send me, send somebody else. It's not my job. Well, God had told him it was. And he was still saying, God, send somebody else. I can't do this. I'm not good at talking. He spent more energy and time telling God very well how poor he was at telling people things. Isn't that really strange? He spent more energy telling God that he wasn't good at speaking, and he did a really good job of it. And God was angry with him. That's what it says. After Moses had made the excuses, God was angry. And he was angry for one reason. I have picked you as my servant, and I've asked you to go, and I'm even going to tell you what to say. And then the very time you get stuck, have you ever been, somebody says to you, why did you do this and why are you doing that? And you don't know quite what to say. God's saying to Moses, if that kind of time happens, I will actually give you the words to say. Who made your mouth? I'll do it. Just you be ready and available and obedient. You see, when he was saying to God, I can't do this, I'm not good at this, what he was really saying is, I don't really trust you, God. That's what he was really saying. God's saying to him, I'll give you the right things to say. In fact, in the end, God is so generous, he always is. He says, tell you what, I'll let your brother come as well, so there's two of you. And he is really good at speaking, so I'll get him to help you out. And I will tell both of you what you're going to say just at the time you need to say it. And when you're going to teach people, I'll tell you that as well. Now, don't say to your pastor when he gets back that he's not a good preacher. But what you've got to remember is that when Hamish is standing up here, it's not his words. Even when Hamish is up, or anyone else, God is giving them the words to say on that day for you to hear. Being here is not an accident. Hearing what is said today is not an accident. We are here to hear, all of us, what God has to say. You imagine Hamish getting up and saying, sorry, I'm not doing it today. I can't, because I don't know what to say. Well, you know what would happen. Stuart would pop up and just take over. Or somebody. But no, everyone needs to remember that it's what God says that's important, not the person just who is saying it. But God was angry. He was saying, you do not actually have any excuses because I will be with you and tell you what to say when you need to say it. Because that's the other big problem. Some of us say things we were not meant to say it, don't we? And then we have to apologize for, sorry, I got carried away. But that God's assurance is, I will tell you what to say when you need to say it. Really, really important. But our second story is perhaps even more important. In our story, when Jesus is telling his parable, telling his story about being invited to become part of God's family, to become a Christian, to believe in what Jesus was going to do, to die, when Jesus was going to die on the cross, and anyone who came to him would be entitled to live with God, to be at home with God. The man then prepares a banquet and he sends out invitations. Can you imagine if it was your birthday and you sent out invitations and nobody came? You'd feel absolutely dreadful. Well, that's the kind of thing that's happening here. Banquet's prepared, everything's ready, nothing's been spared, everything is ready. All that we need is for the folks to come. Well, we call it no excuses. We said that Moses really had no excuse. He had to learn to trust God, just as you and I have to do. But here's a very important one. You actually have to be one of God's people before God can really use you. And this is what this story is about. Coming to be in Jesus' presence, belonging to his family, trusting him, and everybody in our story makes an excuse. And they're the daftest excuses I have ever heard anywhere. In fact, Jesus is making a point that these excuses are that stupid that nobody's ever going to believe them. First person says, I have just bought a field and I need to go and see it. Duh. You buy a field without looking at it. That's as daft as the Japanese man who bought a house in Leven, and this is true, not in Leven, in Ely, thinking he was buying a great big mansion and he was actually buying the shed that was next to it. And he thought he would make sure of getting it, and he offered £1 million. They accepted £1 million. I don't know what happened in the end. But you don't buy a field without seeing it. And yet this man says, tell your master, I'm not coming to his party. I've just bought a field, that's more important, and I'm going to go and see what the field looks like. Please make my excuse. The next one is just as daft. The next person said, I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to try them out. But you don't, even today, if you're buying a car, you can go and take to the garage and say, can I take it out for a test run and see what it's like? Or you do what I do, you borrow it, you drive around the corner, you lift the bonnet, and you check underneath and make sure everything's working. And this person here, this is the equivalent of having their big tractor, says, I've just bought 5 oxen and I'm away to see what they're like and try them out. You do that first, would you not? So the excuse is just daft. It's just what it says. It's just an excuse for not coming and being with Jesus. And lots of people, young folks and old folks, I'm too young to be a Christian. I'll do it later. I'm too old to be a Christian. I've been the way I am for so long, there's no point changing now. Or, there's nothing wrong with me. I don't need saving. I don't need changing. I don't need it. We all make excuses. I'm perfectly all right. I'm a self-made man. You ever watch somebody that says that, you'll see they've made a wee bit of a mess of making themselves. But here's the funniest one of all. Ladies, you'll like it. You'll notice that the first two people say that they won't come. The third one, listen to this. This one's probably believable. Still another said, I've just got married and I can't come. Who says Jesus doesn't have a sense of humour? The first two people say, I'm not coming because I'm choosing not to come. Jesus had lots of friends, and some of his disciples were married, like Peter. And what he was saying is, I'm just got married and my wife won't let me come. And that actually is what Jesus was doing. There's a bit of humour in there. Peter, I know that you're that big, strong, tough fisherman. Ladies, it doesn't say anything in the scripture about keeping your husbands in their place. But that's understood. You're meant to be a helpmeet, and somebody has needed an awful lot of help. But Jesus is still using this as an excuse. Well, this person might have had a reason. We do. The folks who know their Bibles really well will know that if you got married, you were given time off for going to the army for a whole year, so you could stay home and do what your wife wanted. So that's that. So that one might be a true one. But all of them are simply excuses for not coming to God. And I can stand here, and I had many, many, many excuses. I was 19 before I became a Christian, and for many years, even although friends of mine told me about Jesus, I simply made excuses. I was too busy, I didn't need him, etc., etc., etc. On it went. And even later on, I was the pastor in Broxford for about 10 years, nearly 9 years. And God had been asking me to go into full-time ministry as a pastor for about 20 years. And my big excuse was, I'm a teacher and I've got a really good pension coming. And it's index-linked. And I'll be fine. Teaching's what I do best. I'm not doing it. And for ages and ages, God kept asking me, and I just kept making excuses. Well, there was a very pleasant ending to it. My wife liked this bit as well. My wife decided that God wanted her doing something for him full time. She wasn't making excuses like I was. And she went and spoke to our minister in Kirkintilloch Baptist and told him there that she thought God was calling her to full time work. Well, it took me 3 years to get there. And when I went and spoke to the pastor and said, I think God's calling me to full-time work. He said, that's brilliant. He said, because I thought either you were going to die or Christine was going to have to leave you because she's been called 3 years ago and she's been waiting for you. I made excuse after excuse after excuse. And yet God still kept asking me and equipping me to do the job, because that's important. It's not just that God says to you, as he said to Moses, if I ask you to do a job, I will give you the words to say that you'll be fitted for it. I mean, if you're not a hospitable person, you know, some folks are a wee bit dour, God's not going to call you to show hospitality to, let's say, visiting speakers and things necessarily, or to anybody. If you are not able to speak in public, God's not going to suddenly ask you to become a preacher. He might change you and equip you, but God normally asks you to do it. The Bible is quite clear about this. If you are able to encourage, encourage. If you're given to hospitality, show hospitality. If it's speaking, speak. Whatever you do that God's equipped you for, do it the best you are able to do, and God will bless you in it and be with you and help and equip you. Let me ask you, in case you think I'm being fanciful, what's the reason for you being saved if you're a Christian? Well, I'm not going to put the finger on it. I'll answer my own question. Well, you need it, because without salvation, without responding to the call of Jesus, you are lost. In other words, you don't have a place in heaven, because you can only be in God's presence if God makes you fit for it. God's holy, and he needs holy people round about him. And you and I are not very good at that, so that's why Jesus came, died on the cross, to make us good. Now, that's one of the reasons, but there is actually a very, very much more spelled out reason as well. Don't know if you know Ephesians 2 and 10. It says there, you were saved to do the works that God prepared for you before the foundation of the world. You are God's handiwork, and you are saved to do the works that God has already prepared beforehand for you to do. You read that later on if you wish. That's another main reason. God does not need you to do the work. But God wants you to share the joy of doing it. Give up the excuses. You don't need them. God's saying, God made the whole world without your help. He made you without your help. God can do anything. But he asks you to trust him, to rely on him, to take his equipping, and to have all that he's prepared for you out there. One of the other big places that most folks will know, even the kids will know, the excuse one is, do you remember when the folk were sent to go to the promised land to get all the things that God had promised them? That land flowing with milk and honey. In other words, a land with all the good things that God had prepared. 12 folk were sent in to spy. 2 of them come back saying, we can do this. God will help us. And 10 of them come back and says, we can't go up there. They're bigger than we are. And they'll kill us and smash us about. And they're giants. But God had already promised them the land. And you and I, quite often, because we keep making excuses for not coming to Jesus, miss the joy of knowing his love and knowing that we're safe and we have a hope for the future. And we also miss the joy of being involved in doing the work that God is doing. It's fantastic to be involved in what God is doing. And yet we make excuses. Are you one of the 10? Oh, they're too big, the job's too large, we've tried it before, we can't do it. I've heard all these stories. God's heard all the excuses. We don't have an excuse. What we might say is, it's impossible for me to do what God wants. That's a lack of faith. We're told, yes, what is impossible for man is possible for God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So what's the excuse? Please write down all your excuses, hand them to the church secretary, and Hamish will demolish them when he returns. No, I don't need to joke about it. You do not have an excuse any more than the people mentioned in Romans. Oh, we haven't heard about God. And God's saying, I speak to your conscience, to your heart. You've seen the work that God has done in the world and creation, and it is plain from even looking at nature that there is a God. We're even more fortunate because we have the Bible. We know about Jesus. Jesus has died and Jesus will live within us. He's made that promise. So let me just finish by reading from Romans chapter 1 just a bit. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, eternal power, and his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. You and I are, if we know the Lord Jesus, are even more fortunate. We know the power of God. We've experienced it. We've lived it. We have a God who's faithful. So we know that God does not change. Perhaps the changing belongs with us, and that's God's work as well. With God's help, we can change our community, change our own hearts, change our families, even change our nation. What's impossible for us is possible with God. No excuse. Amen.